Amen. Thank you, sister. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, as we bring our meeting to a close tonight, we want to open God's word and hear what the Lord would say to us. We are coming to read from verse number 15. My apologies, verse number 10, Proverbs 23 and verse number 10. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. But thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins, or my mind, shall rejoice, when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the worship in this house tonight, in the hymns that we have sung, and the pieces our sister has brought before us. We thank you, Lord, in each piece we've been taken to Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that we have been thinking tonight, even in these songs of praise, about our Saviour. And as we come to the Word of God, we pray that we would see Jesus. We do pray, Lord, you'll take the scales off eyes tonight. Pray, O Lord, you'll loose the chains of sin that bind the prisoner tonight. Set them free. Lord, speak peace and life and pardon into lives where there is none dwelling. And Father, we pray that with the voice that wakes the dead, sinners will be called out of darkness into light. Empty this preacher of self and sin, and fill me with thy Spirit. Give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we ask these things. Amen and amen. The Lord has given us his word, his precious word, the Bible, for our instruction in life. Now, to the unsaved, this book is a revelation of their sinfulness, the sinfulness of their heart. Not only how sinful man is, but of the consequences of their sin. How sin affects our lives and the people around us. How sin affects our health, and how sin affects our death and also our eternity. And therefore, the call of this book to the sinner tonight is to repent from your sin and to believe the gospel, or the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the very first message that Christ ever preached in his earthly ministry. In chapter 1 of Mark, repent and believe the gospel. This is the message of Christ, and it's a message about Christ. It is believing that he is the Savior of sinners. He is the only way you can be saved. By the work he did in Calvary, suffering in the place of sinners, suffering as a sacrifice for sinners, suffering in the shedding of his blood for sinners. And dear sinner in this meeting, if you will not heed and obey the commands of this book, if you will continue to reject God's mercy and continue to live in your sin, there is no hope for you. There is no good news for you. Because you cannot go against the gospel and prosper. Death is certain. God's judgment is sure. Hell, as well as heaven, is real. And therefore, at the commencement of this message tonight, I ask you the question, how have you responded to the gospel? You've heard the scriptures. You've heard that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You've heard the old message, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You've heard Sunday after Sunday me preach the words, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what have you done with the gospel? What have you done with Christ? What have you done with his offer of mercy? Where would you be if tonight was your last night on this earth? If a sinner will obey, and if a sinner shall call upon the Lord in faith, then he will be saved. He'll be saved by the grace of God. And not only will the Lord deal with the guilt of sin and the shame of sin and the record of sin, he'll deal with even our very desires. Because there'll be new desires within our heart that we never had before. There'll be a desire in your heart to be in the house of God, to be at a prayer meeting, to be reading the word, to be in obedience to the Lord. There'll be a desire for Christian fellowship and company and friendship. There'll be a desire for those things that are holy and honest and good and true. Those aren't natural desires, but those are the desires that God puts within the heart of those who are saved. There's also a new desire and appreciation for the word of God. And every believer will remember when they first could see it, they wanted to know more. They were hungry and this book was manna to their soul. They were thirsty and this book quenched the thirst with the water of the word. Whenever we're weary, this book is a strength to us as we read it. Whenever we are despondent, this book is encouragement to us. Whenever we need guidance, this book is the guide that will lead us in the right way as we walk toward heaven. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And during one of my readings this week, and during just one of my morning readings, I came across these verses and the Lord wrote them upon my heart. And there's three verses I want to leave before you tonight. And I do this really in two ways. First of all, to the believer, there is instruction on how to live. But as we look at these verses, there's also instruction for the unsaved, for the sinner. And whatever your need be tonight in the house of God, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you're walking closely with the Lord or your heart is cold, I pray that tonight these words will be used of God to do a work within your heart. Verse number 17, 18 and 19. And I just want to take each verse and think about the theme of each verse. First of all, in verse number 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. In this verse, we have a call to the right affection. To the right affection. And the word affection by meaning love or desire. And this verse is essentially telling us to take care of your heart. To take care of your heart. You see, there's a warning here. It says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Now, the word envy, it means to desire after. And therefore, it's saying, don't look at the unsaved and desire the life that they are living. Now, how or why would a person envy or desire to be like the sinner? Well, remember, we're on this side of eternity. We're on this side of the judgment day of God. And we don't really see the full picture as God sees it. And therefore, we can look around at people who are not saved and see them in the fullness of health. Some financially successful, some very popular, some in positions of power, some living just the way they want to, and it seems to be without consequences. They're openly sinful. They're actively against God. They publicly denounce God and deny God and go against the word of God. But they are unhindered in progress in their life. Whatever they do, it seems to be successful. Whatever they seek or desire, they seem to be able to achieve it. And we have to be honest. There are times as we look around, from the places of power in our land, in the governments, right around to the entertainment of the world, right around to people in our own families, they've no time for God. But it seems to be, there's no consequence. They're living quite well. They're living and enjoying life. It appears to be that the way they're living is being rewarded. and that their sin is unpunished. I say it appears to be, because God does not overlook sin. God does not overlook sin. It never goes unpunished. The soul of the sinner can never prosper. Oh, their bank account might prosper. Their body for a while may prosper. They may have popularity and power, and they may prosper in the things of this world and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But their soul cannot prosper because it is against God. This person, this sinner that we're being warned against, the one that seems to have it all, with no concern about the Lord, who seems to glide through life without a care, who seems to have everything fall in their lap, this one may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but there's judgment to face. They will stand before God. And the reality is that the child of God should not look with envy at any sinner, but they should look with pity and prayer. Songwriter said these words, "Pity the man who has treasure to hold, yet knows not the pearl of great price. Pity the man, though he lives long on earth, but knows not the giver of life. Doctor or lawyer, traveller or merchant, builder who builds in the sand, pauper or king, to be saved is the thing. And if he's lost, then pity the man." As we look around us today, friend, our hearts should be full of pity. Pity for the souls of men and women who are living without Christ. Pity for those who are popular and feel that the world is cheering them on, and yet someday they'll stand before God and be cast into hell. Pity those who have everything that money can buy, but not one second in heaven. You see, we don't look at where a man is immediately now to see if he is living a blessed life. We look at the end of the time that God gives to see the measure of his blessing. And if you're looking at someone tonight and looking at the life they're living, maybe the car they're driving, maybe the finances they have, maybe the success they have, and you're tempted to envy and wish you had their life, friend, look at the end of their life. If they're in their sin and their end is hell, that person is to be pitied and prayed for rather than envied. You see, we are not to envy others, but the Lord tells us what to do instead. It says, "Be thou in the fear of the Lord." Be thou in the fear of the Lord. And that's a remedy. That's a remedy to the sins in our lives. That's a remedy to envying after other people's lives. And that's a remedy to false witness. And that's a remedy to all of those different sins we can list in the Bible. The fear of the Lord. C.H. Spurgeon said that the fear of the Lord is an inward condition. It is a hearty submission to your Heavenly Father. It consists of a holy reverence of God and a sacred awe of him. And this is accompanied by a childlike trust in him, which leads to loving obedience, tender submission, and lowly adoration. Friend, that's what the fear of God is. It is loving obedience, tender submission, and lowly adoration. And rather than you having your eyes on ungodly people, trying to figure out why do they get to be so successful or why do they seem to have it all, you should turn your eyes to the Lord. And in doing so, open his word and claim his promises, because there's a storehouse of blessing for the child of God. There's wonderful promises for you to claim. There's wonderful blessings for you to enjoy. And therefore, get your eyes off man tonight and the seeming success of man, and get your eyes afresh on the Lord, and realize what he has done for you, what he is doing for you, what he has promised to do for you. The greatest remedy against sin is a genuine love for the Lord. Cultivate that love in your heart. Oh, love him more and more. How do I love him more? The more I know him, the more I love him. The more I read his word and realize what he has done, the more I hear his voice speak to me so sweetly, the more I experience time in his presence in the place of prayer, the more I love him. That's why the devil will do everything in his power to keep you from the book, to keep you from the church, to keep you from the prayer meeting, to keep you from the private place of prayer. Why? Because there are the places you fall in love with Jesus. And don't think you're just missing a meeting. You're missing an opportunity to grow deeper in your knowledge of Christ, in your love for Christ, and in your likeness of Christ. This is not a paralyzing fear. This is a fear of sincere desire to be obedient and to walk worthy of our calling. And the Bible tells us, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord. Notice these words, all the day long. You know what that teaches me? We must always have our eyes on the Lord. That teaches me that there's no time of the day or night, no period of the week, when we can try and do it on our own, when we can do things in our own strength, when we go in our own wisdom, whenever we can neglect the Lord in some part of our life, but all the day long, from I wake up in the morning till I put my head upon the pillow at night, and every moment in between, and even as our sister was singing in that psalm, as we read in that psalm, even when we're sleeping, it's the Lord that is keeping us. His eye is upon us. He never slumbers nor sleeps. We need him all the day long. A friend of the heart is right before God. And it's a heart matter that we're talking about, because it's talking about your heart envying and your heart fearing. If the heart is right before God, then your walk will be right before God and man. And sometimes even Christians get this the wrong way around, and they think, well, if I do all these things and do the right things, then my heart will be right. No, no, no. The heart must be right first of all. And if I'm speaking to someone tonight and you're backslidden, well, what do I mean by the word backslidden? I mean, you're not where you once were with the Lord. You're maybe not out drinking. You're maybe not out doing things that maybe would be deemed openly sinful. But you know your heart's not where it should be. And you're sitting in God's house tonight, and as the people around you sang, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the pleasures of sin I resign, there's a sadness in your heart. Maybe you felt embarrassed in the presence of the Lord, because that love's not there anymore. You're not resigning from the pleasures of the world, you're getting back into them. And I warn you, stop. Stop now. Get your heart right before God. Come back to your first love. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Oh, don't get caught up, dear believer. Do not get caught up. I must do this. I must do that. And then I'll be doing the right things. Get this sorted first of all. Make sure the heart's in tune with God. Make sure the heart's in love with Christ. Make sure the heart is standing in awe of your Savior, purged from sin, filled with the Spirit. And then the rest of the life will outflow from that. Here we have the right mindset. I say to young people starting out in life, maybe you're in your teenage years, and maybe, as it were, you're looking about the type of life you would like to live. And we look around, don't we, for role models. We look around for people that we think, well, I appreciate the way that they live, or the life that they're living, or they seem to be what I would like to be, and you want to follow after them. And it's good to have good role models. In fact, the Bible speaks about it. Tells us to follow after those who are godly and holy. And even Paul was able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. So there's nothing wrong with having role models, but make sure they're the right ones. Don't sit in your heart waiting until you're old enough to be able to get out into the world and drive and get a job and do this and that, and setting your sights to be like this ungodly person or this sinful person because they seem to have a good life. Get your eyes on godly men and women. Those who are living faithfully, faithful, holy lives. Those who are in attendance at the house of God, at the prayer meeting. Those who are raising their family under the word of God, and those who live a life of Christian joy as they serve the Lord. Get your eyes off those who do nothing, are critical of others, and you couldn't please them, should you stand your head. But most of all, get your eyes on the Lord. Follow him. Follow him. We've thought about the right affection. Let's look secondly at the right mindset. Verse number 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Surely there is an end. Oh yes, the wicked are prospering. Some of them are in the places of power in our land. Some of them are running drugs all through our country. Some of them are trying to promote immorality through media, even trying to bring it into schools, into the minds of children. Wickedness. But surely there is an end. There is an end. There's a day of accountability. There's an end of all things in this world. You see, we can look at this in two ways. For the Christian, that's a glorious thing. Dear Christian, there is an end. There's an end to your suffering. There's an end to the battles we daily have to fight against the world and the flesh and the devil. There's an end to the pain that you suffer both physically and perhaps spiritually. There's an end to the hurt. There's an end to the great trials. There's an end to the long-term suffering. You know how the Bible describes it? It says the former things have passed away. And therefore, there's an end to this world. There's an end to living in a place where we experience the reality and the consequences and the burdens of sin. Because when we get to heaven, there will be none of those things there. And therefore, we say to the believer tonight, glory land is just in sight. We're going home. This world isn't our home. We're almost there. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, there's also an end for you. There's an end to your health, an end to your wealth, an end to the breath in your body. There's an end to the plans of sin. There's an end to the schemes, the false accusations. There's an end to those who are living in corruption. There's an end to those who are murdering in this land. There's an end to those who are terrorizing people. There's an end. And it's not annihilation, but rather it's an end of your life when your soul is called before the judgment seat of God. And friend, you will be judged on that day according to the word. You know what the Bible says? It says about the Christian in verse number 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Now he's speaking here to the believer, we know that. And what does it mean, thine expectation shall not be cut off? Well, the word expectation means hope. The thing that I'm longing for. And what is a Christian really longing for? The believer tonight is longing for the full experience of their salvation. Now, there are many blessings that we enjoy in this life and many things that we experience in this life. There's a measure of joy, and there are times the joy of the Lord floods our soul. There are times we've even wept in the presence of God because we're overwhelmed by his love and his mercy and the goodness of the Lord. But we long to know that joy that is undiminished and that will not fade away. Oh, we've enjoyed peace in this world and even the peace of God that passeth understanding, but we long for eternal peace. We long for the fullness of those things we've tasted in this life. We've been in the presence of Jesus. And how blessed it has been. But oh, to be in the place where we'll be continually in his presence. Death for the Christian is the promotion to glory. To the place spoken of in Scripture, prepared by the Lord. To the place of dwelling for many of our loved ones who have gone on before us. Who have already experienced the fullness of their salvation. I want you to turn with me for just a few moments to the book of Job. Just before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 11. And in Job chapter 11, verse number 20. We read this verse that really does tie in with our text tonight. In Job chapter 11 and verse number 20, it says, "But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape." And their hope, and that word hope is the same word as the word expectation in Proverbs. Their expectation shall be as the giving up of the ghost. What is the hope and the expectation of the ungodly man? Well, that we'll have more of this life. More money, more health, more experiences, more sin. All of these things. They long for more and more of the things that please the flesh. But one day they're going to give up the ghost. And those things they long for, and yes, brought them pleasure for a little while in this world, they're going to disappear. Oh, you see, the sin they've engaged in for years will bring them no pleasure in hell. And the money they've saved up for years will bring them no pleasure in hell. And even the health that they enjoyed and the success and the promotion and the power and all of those things, friend, it will not make hell one bit easier. All those things will disappear. And notice what it says, they shall not escape. They shall not escape. Sometimes whenever a wicked person dies, and I'm talking about a famous person, and they lived their life of tragedy, really, ruined by drink and drugs and immorality and all of those things. And they've lived it publicly in the life of the world. Never made any profession of faith. Never considered the Lord. Took his name in vain. All of those things. And they die. And what does the people say? Oh, well, you know, at least they're at rest now after their troubled life. As if somehow they've escaped the judgment of God. Friend, if someone dies in their sin, I can assure you they're not at rest. They're not at rest. Because they shall not escape. Your sin, dear sinner, may not be known by many people on this earth. In fact, there may be sins that are not known by any people on this earth. But they cannot escape God. You can't sidestep God. You can't outrun God. You can't explain away your sin before God. Friend, you have no answer on the day of judgment because you've rejected Christ. You've rejected his salvation. And why we say tonight, surely there is an end, and the expectation or the hope of the Christian shall not be cut off, but they will receive the fullness of their salvation. Everything that the sinner has grasped in this life, they'll have to let go of as they fall into hell. The final verse is verse number 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. We thought tonight in verse number 17 about the right affection. Take care of your heart. We thought in verse number 18 about the right mindset. Keep the fundamental truth before you. That life is only for a short time. And then eternity comes. And finally, we're thinking here in verse 19 about the right way, which is to walk in the wisdom of God. Now, you will notice something important here, that wisdom starts with hearing truth. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. He doesn't say, be wise, my son. He says, hear thou, and be wise. I challenge every believer, before you make any decision in your life, before you make any major decision in your life, open this book, pray and read. How many mistakes have been made by going what we thought was the right way, by doing what we thought was the right thing, in our wisdom, and remembering that the Bible says the ways of God and the mind of God and the thoughts of God, they're higher than our ways. So we have no hope. We have no hope of getting wisdom from ourselves, but rather wisdom starts with hearing truth. How do we hear the truth? Well, first of all, we read the Word of God. And secondly, we listen to the preaching of the Word of God. And that's how you hear truth. And we need to do both of those things. And I urge every believer each day to open your book, open the Bible, and read the Bible. I urge you to come to each meeting where the preaching of the gospel is heralded forth. You need to hear the Word of God. Don't you try and figure out what's best for your life. Come to the book and see what God says and how He leads you. And He will lead you. That's what He promises to do. Now, I said wisdom starts by hearing the truth. But we can go on to say that wisdom is experienced and evidenced by obeying the truth or obeying the Lord. Be wise. Yes, firstly, in gaining the knowledge. But the gaining of knowledge is not wisdom. That might sound strange, but gaining knowledge is not wisdom. Accumulation of knowledge is not true wisdom, if that's all it is to you, a storehouse of information. Wisdom comes when a person acts upon the knowledge. Well, there are many people tonight, and I believe there are people sitting in this church, and they know how to be saved. They know that God is faithful. They know that Christ's blood can cleanse from all sin. They know that in a moment, if they call upon the Lord, they will be saved. Friend, that's not wisdom, that's knowledge. Wisdom is a man who says, well, based on what I know from the Word of God, I'm going to take God at His word and obey. I'm going to call and ask Him to save me. I'm going to plead the blood for my cleansing. I'm going to trust in Christ to be my Savior. I'm not asking how much of the Bible you know tonight. I'm not asking how much of the gospel you know tonight. I'm asking, have you obeyed the gospel? You see, a little child of 4, 5, 6, 7 years old might only know the very, very basics. That they're a sinner, separated from God by their sin and on their way to hell. Christ died on the cross for sinners and shed His blood. And if we call upon the Lord, we'll be saved. And that might be all they know of theology. But praise God, what theology to know. And taking that knowledge that they have received, that teaching of maybe a parent's knee, a Sunday school teacher's knee, a children's meeting worker, they have taken the Word of God and they say, Lord Jesus, save me. It wasn't a big prayer. It wasn't full of big words. But they called on the Lord for salvation. Friend, that's what you need to do tonight. You don't need to know more about God. You need to know Christ as your personal Savior by calling upon Him tonight. And then it says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. The word guide, do you know what it means? It literally means to be straight. To be straight. So what do we mean by that? To be straight in line with the Word of God. To be straight in line with the Word of God. If you come to this book, and there's something in your life that doesn't seem to be in line with the Word of God, you're wrong, and the book's right. You're wrong, and the book's right. There are many people, and they think, well, you know, that's not that important, that wee bit. Or that part really doesn't matter, as long as I'm doing the essentials. Guide thine heart in the way. Keep in line with the Word of God. The Word also is translated elsewhere in Scripture to go forward. To go forward. Guide your heart forward in the way. It means to be honest. Be honest in the way. Be honest before God. If you're struggling, if you fall, be honest before the Lord. And keep pressing on in the way. It also means to be blessed. Be blessed in the way. Guide thy heart into the way of blessing. And I take great delight as a preacher tonight before this congregation to say to you, I want you to be blessed. I want God's best for you. But here's how it's received. Here's how you get it. Here's how you possess God's best blessing for your life. You guard your heart in his way, in the ways of righteousness. Whatever he says, do. Wherever he says, go. And in doing so, the Lord will richly, richly bless you. Dear believer, are you miserable tonight? Because you're not in the way of the Lord. You're in disobedience, you're in rebellion, you're in apathy. Get back to the way. Get off Bypath Meadow. Get off the place where everything's a burden and a chore and get back into the place of blessing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. And I know my God will bless me. But the question is, are you prepared to guide your heart in the way? Are you prepared to go through with God? As we come tonight to close, I remind each sinner in this gathering, you know about salvation. You know how to be saved. But knowledge doesn't save you. Is your heart filled with knowledge tonight? Or is it filled with the peace of God through Jesus Christ your Lord? Is your heart full of facts and figures about the Word of God? Or is it filled with the Spirit of God? Friend, is your heart filled with pride over how much you know about the Bible? Or is your heart filled with joy because Jesus is mine? Come to Christ tonight. Bring your heart before him. Confess you're a sinner who needs to cleanse, needs to be saved. And the promise of the word is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, praise God, they shall be saved. And you can take God at his word tonight and know the joy of sins forgiven. 273 is our hymn. We're just going to sing a couple of verses as we close tonight. And we're going to sing verses 1, 2 and 5. 1, 2 and 5. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in my precious blood that flowed on Calvary.